Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 84, recorded on Monday, November 5th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
I thought you were going to give us the Michaela.
Oh,
I'm Ron Richards.
I try to say
something for before the show. You know, we can't put everything in the show. People got to come watch it live, and then you can see the insanity.
Yeah, we need to rewind the past 15 minutes and pull out all the best moments and relive them right now. Now that the show has begun,
do it pre-show. Yeah, no.
Just hit the pre-show next time. Come before 5 p.m. Pacific, and you'll see all the fun stuff.
So, Ron, you are back east. How are things?
I'm in New York. We're doing okay post-Sandy. We're the aftermath, the recovery, the road to recovery. No, but luckily everybody that in my world is safe, and it's been really great to see everybody in New York, New Jersey coming together and helping people out and volunteering and all that fun stuff. So if you haven't donated yet, go to the Red Cross and donate. Help people out if you can. It's been crazy, but but we're safe, so that's good.
Yeah. Now, there might be another storm system coming pretty soon. Are you guys worried about that at all?
It's a nor'easter. It's supposed to come on Wednesday. We'll see what happens. The thing is, it's basically like, as a friend of mine put it today, it's like basically getting slapped on the arm when you get sunburned. So it's like the bad thing has already happened, and this is just a punch, a 1-2 punch afterwards. So, but we'll see how bad that storm is. Hopefully everybody will be able to hold up and not have too much damage. So.
All right. Well, safe travels home when you finally come back here.
Yeah, if I can get any gas. If anybody has any gas, send it to Long Island.
Oh man, 3-hour lines. You said 3-hour lines for gas.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Wow.
All right. Well, thoughts are with everyone out there on the East Coast.
Absolutely.
This week, just we got a lot of stuff to talk about. That's all I wrote. We have a lot of stuff.
Good work.
It was kind of all over the place. It's like this and that.
Yeah,
and
it
I was
really
like,
is.
You know, this is stuff. But Android is 5 years old today.
Yeah, Open Handset Alliance 5 years ago on 2007 unveiled Android.
That's crazy. Five
years. When?
It's come a long way, baby.
A lot has happened in 5 years.
Yeah, it's actually the CNET article that's in the doc has some pretty cool videos attached to it. One just kind of showcasing it in its early infancy.
Yeah.
As well as a very young Sergey Brin, seems younger than 5 years anyways. He looks like he's a little bit older now. It's only 5 years, but he looks a lot younger there. But if
he's just not wearing the glasses. That's why you don't recognize him.
Maybe that's the thing about the glasses. They make you look older and wiser.
Yeah, I think that's it. So, you know, he got those now. And so this is not the Sergey you know now.
Yeah, scan through there and you'll start to see some device stuff. But yeah,
there's a pretty keyboard too down there, right?
Those awful BlackBerry-esque handsets.
Mm-hmm.
Those devices were just not anything to get excited about back then.
But people got excited about them? I mean, because it was a different world then. You know what I mean? That there was different paradigm.
How long was it until after the G1 came out? When did the G1 came out? 08 or 09?
The G1.
08, I thought.
Was it 08?
Well, there it is.
What's that?
Have I been doing this for 4 years? Jeez.
Probably-ish, somewhere around there. I thought it was soon after, but yeah, people in chat are saying 2008. So
yeah,
which I guess would be soon after November 5th, 2007. So that makes
sense. October 15th, 2008, CNET posted a review of the G1. So less than a year after they unveiled Android, the first handset was out.
Wow.
And look how far it came in that year. Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, look, something you can't get on the iPhone.
They still had some pretty cool stuff there in the early days with the kind of the Google Earth stuff, you know, being able to scan around. And actually just watching that little clip of them doing the kind of pan around with Google Earth reminds me of some of the Photosphere stuff that we're actually going to show off a little bit.
I thought maybe that's what we were showing, actually. I'm like, what's happening here?
Or Photosynth in 2007. Not quite, but close. So, but anyways, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Android. And let's dive into our news. Now, in today's Android news, everybody, apparently 2.7% of Android devices now run 4.1 Jelly Bean. I know I've gotten a lot of tweets from people who are saying, my Galaxy S3 with Sprint, my Galaxy S3 finally has Jelly Bean. Yay!
Yeah.
Congrats to you guys.
Almost 26% on Ice Cream Sandwich. And this is a little over a year later on, you know, the Ice Cream Sandwich that was supposed to kind of unify and speed up the updates and everything. But still, that number is becoming more and more impressive the more I think about it. 26% of all handsets on the new, on the totally like facelifted version of Android. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. But, you know, then it pales in comparison when you look at Gingerbread. Still just riding strong at 54%, 53.9%. And this, just to kind of reiterate, I think we pointed this out in the past, this is reported based on Android devices that access Google Play within the 14-day period ending on the data collection date, which here would be November 1st. So these are still actively used. Mm-hmm. You know, they had to access the Play Store within 14 days. So that means that they at least hopped on then. So a solid 54% phones still on that Gingerbread. Froyo dying off at this point with 12%.
Mm-hmm. Look at Honeycomb.
I know. Every time I see any numbers in Honeycomb, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, poor Honeycomb. Wah, wah, wah. Sorry.
Just holding on there, isn't it? I wonder how long it's gonna mock us.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
But it's growing. It's growing. It's getting less. It's getting, you know, like it just takes time. It just takes, you know, and so I don't know. It's nice to see the development. You know?
And then, of course, there's got to be some people out there like, oh, 4.2 isn't even on the list yet. 4.2 isn't even out yet. But
next time
this comes out, we're actually going to see that sneak on. Yeah. And it's going to be a little bit more of a splinter for the results, but it's going to be tiny. It's going to be pretty small. Unless, I don't know, who knows? Maybe the Nexus 4 is going to sell, you know, massive numbers. I think it'll do okay. In the US, I think it's going to do okay.
Well, worldwide, the problem is LTE. A lot of people are complaining that it doesn't have LTE, and I understand that. I mean, people want the fast speed.
They
want it.
All right. Well, this came through earlier today. Apple took Motorola and, by extension, Google to court earlier in the year, claiming that Motorola was being unfair in how it was licensing some of its standards essential wireless patents. Apple would only go through with the hearing if the court could impose a maximum of $1 per iPhone if they were to lose. Apple wasn't too keen on passing that amount. And, you know, apparently the court wasn't either. The case was dismissed with prejudice this morning by Judge Barbara Crabb and is over at the trial court level, likely to be appealed by Apple to follow. So I doubt this means that we're, you know, seeing the end of this case. Small victory, small-ish victory, I guess, for the folks who, you know, just want to see any victory against Apple, which I think in the Android world is a growing number. People keep keeping score, see this as a big blow against Apple. I'm not entirely sure that this changes a whole lot.
Probably not.
Is just a delay. Anytime these things come through, I feel the need to talk about it on the show a little bit because it could potentially lead to something big. Mm-hmm. It's just way too early to know what kind of real effect this has on the landscape, or if this, you know, this kind of thing is the beginning of turning the tide of some sort. I kind of don't think it is.
Probably not. But I mean, it is of note because Google bought Motorola. So, you know, there's a little bit more kind of weight on it, I guess.
Sure.
A tiny bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just chess pieces moving on the board at this point.
Yeah.
Really, you know, it's like, oh, you moved your pawn over there. Okay. Yeah. And you'll see what the ripple effect is, you know, 20 moves down the line. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But moving on. So in terms of there is some actionable legal news against Apple, which is just more of a case of, I think, Apple's, I don't want to say attitude, but Apple's kind of approach to things and the specifics of a legal order specifically in the UK. Apple got their hand slapped when they failed to fulfill the wishes of the judge in the UK to run statements in both print and on their website stating that the Samsung Galaxy Tab had not copied the iPad. So Apple ran that apology on their website, and they, in one paragraph, they acknowledged the judgment and then spent four paragraphs explaining reasons why, as Android Police put it, the judgment was stupid. And basically pissing off the judge in question.
I mean, it really was a non-apology.
Yeah, it was Apple. It was Apple doing their thing.
Yeah.
And so, this gets even better. It gets even
with
better.
Judge Judy, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. That was a funny graphic. But so the judge was completely baffled as to why Apple would do this, and then ordered them to immediately update it. They said they had to. They had 24 hours to remove the notice, and then 48 hours to come with a more appropriate wording to acknowledge the ruling as the judge had implied. And then Apple's lawyers, which is clearly just lawyering tactics as opposed to actual technical reasons, but they said it would take 2 weeks due to the technical difficulties to update the website. So the judge kind of laughed at them, and they said that the head of Apple would have to provide an affidavit as to why it would take 2 weeks to get around these technical difficulties. And then lo and behold, Apple did update their website with a very, very simple, basic, you know, kind of explaining of the judgment, and then explaining what that meant for the European case. And they took out the snark. And so now that's all been kind of resolved. But it just shows. And of course, this is, you know, it's somewhat negative. You know, like, nobody wants to have on their homepage of the website a, you know, explanation of a ruling against them, which is kind of that hand slapping kind of basis. Mm-hmm. But then Apple takes it that one step closer and adds in a whole bunch of snark and gets in trouble again.
I think what's even more interesting about this, and I don't know if there's any credence to this, but somebody in the comments pointed this out. And as I pull up the image, there's an image in the links if you want to open that up, Chad. It's a side-by-side comparison of the Apple site. And I don't know if it's possible to zoom out to see both side-by-side or if the browser doesn't allow for it.
Stuff on the bottom. That's
Basically, yeah. what you're looking at is on the left, you're seeing the European version of the site. On the right, you're seeing the American version of the site. Now, this ruling, you know, it came down in Europe, so it doesn't affect their business in the United States. And what you notice on the right hand side is the image is a lot smaller, right? These little cutoff lines that you see is where a browser, specifically in this case Chrome at 1920 by 1200, where it cuts off the viewable space. But if you look on the left hand side, it's the same amount of space, but they've and I don't know if this is intentional. I'm not saying that it is, but it's just interesting that this is the way that it is.
Oh, it's totally intentional.
They've increased the size of the iPad so that it pushes the comment down below the fold, so you actually have to scroll to even see it in the first place. Just an interesting coincidence of
It's totally them using webmaster, you know, web coding games to try to minimize it as much as possible and get it out of the way. This is hysterical. It's clearly they did this on purpose.
You know,
so even if you scroll down at least two lengths of scrolls, you still don't get to it.
Yeah, you don't get to it. Yeah, and I mean, I think what this is, you know, Apple's following the letter of the court. They're doing what the court asked them to do. It's, you know, possibly it's a matter of the court not specifically calling out what they were looking for, if what they were looking for was to quote unquote punish Apple by having them do this. Now, should they have asked for Apple to put this above the product, and, you know, would that have been undue punishment based on the ruling? You know, I don't know if that would be necessary, but
the courts, again, this is clever lawyering.
Yeah.
This is it will take 2 weeks to update the website. That's the, you know, like, that's them looking for, you know, they're going to apply the letter of the law.
Yep.
And the letter of the law says you put a notice on your website. They didn't say where.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be on your homepage. It doesn't have to be at the top. It doesn't have to be a big blatant thing. What's interesting is that also part of this is that they have to run it in print ads, that they actually have to make physical media. So I'm curious to see what those will end up looking like, how much diminished it will be or not. But clearly, you know, it's tough because the judge rules it. Apple does something. They do it their way in their snarky way. So Samsung goes and tattles to the judge. The judge orders them to change it. They change it. And so you know that Samsung is just looking for any misstep to bring it up to the judge to get them pulled back in court. And clearly the judge does not want to be messed with, does not want to be, you know, misinterpreted.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm curious to see what they, you know, but I guess then Apple's argument is that, hey, we have to do business. And this, you know, this kind of, you know, keeps us from being able to sell our products. So who knows what how it goes legally, but it's just all legal maneuvering.
Absolutely.
It's kind of petty. It's kind of petty,
is.
To be honest.
Well, kind of on both sides, but
yeah.
Not oh, the legal system. That. Hey, let's take an email, shall we?
Sure.
This one comes from Marco and says, I hope you guys can answer my desperate call. I cannot believe after 4 years of using smartphones that a function on my old dumb Motorola E816 flip phone has gone missing in these fancy devices. I used to be able to record a personal memo with one simple button while I was on a call. A lot of us don't really use a phone for calling anymore, but I guess that's... I shouldn't say a lot of us, but... why is this missing from my Droid X? I understand this is... so with all Android and iOS, why ! It would be very important to be able to record a reminder note again while driving as a caller is supplying some important instructions on the other end of the call. Help, Marco. So, at first I didn't understand. At first I thought, oh, yeah, there's plenty of voice recorders. And then I really read the email that said, while on a call, wanting to do a personal voice memo. So a lot of these apps, third-party apps, are not going to work. Now, you put it a call out on G+, right, Jason?
Yeah, well, I put it out on Google Plus just to kind of see if there's a... Because I think what he's asking here is, I'm on a call, but I also want to use the mic to record a separate voice memo that isn't necessarily recording the call, but it's just recording me talking, leaving a voice memo.
And which is kind of crazy, isn't that? I mean, like, that's kind of like, aren't you on the phone?
Well, he's on the phone on a call.
Yeah, you're talking to someone on a call, and they say, what I need you to do is pick up blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So I want to enter right into a mode that says, pick up blah, blah, blah. So when I get off the phone, I have that memo, that voice memo left for me.
So the person on the other phone will hear you say, I'm going to record a memo.
Right.
Okay.
And that's where I kind of get a little confused, because if you're talking on the phone to somebody and that happens, I wonder if that person would really mind if you just said, can I just record the call for a second so I could record this thing? And
that's what I said. Yeah, just capture what they're saying, and then you've got it recorded, and that way you can go back and listen.
I think he wants an app, though, that'll do this, because he's had it before.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. He had it before. And also, you know, there are certain legal requirements for recording a phone call. Maybe you don't want to have to go through that with the caller, and you just want to... you know, safely recorded into your own audio file or whatever.
No, so he's not looking for a call. I'm just answering the chat room. He's not looking for call recording. He's looking for an app to do this while he's on the phone separate.
Right. So if that's what he's looking for, I don't know that there is a way to do this. And Jason Applebaum, actually, he's been on the show plenty of times before. He hit me up on IM after I had posted it on Google Plus and said the only way to record a call would be Google Voice. Although I think there are some ways to record a call with Android.
Yeah, I think
with
there's third-party apps that do that.
There are, but the quality has diminished as Android has developed. I just literally went through this a couple of weeks ago because I had to do an interview.
Okay.
And I needed to find an app, and I tried. I tried probably about 5 or 6 different ones. And I got varying levels of quality. Some recorded only my side. Some only recorded the other side of the phone, the person I was talking to. Some didn't record at all. One recorded well, but not any format I could get off the phone and listen to in another app. And ultimately, I used Google Voice. That was the best solution.
Yeah.
And the difference on Google Voice is that when you hit the keystroke to start recording, a voice comes on and says, "This call is now being recorded." And so it makes it clear to the person you're on the phone with due to privacy and things like that.
Well, then perfect. And by the way, if you found one that only recorded your voice and not the other side, that would work in this case. But maybe that's not something they're intentionally doing. It's like a bug. But anyways, as far as Google Voice is concerned, you have to activate it on your Google Voice account. And then you hit 4 to turn it on or off during a call. And then that does it at the call level on Google Voice's servers, I believe, right?
Yeah,
so then your audio recording is just stored it there.
Yeah.
It stores it on the cloud. And then I believe, actually, I didn't look into it, but I believe it'll also transcribe it the same way it transcribes a voicemail, which is awesome if you're doing print interviews and things like that, because then your transcription service happens immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really great. You could download the file directly. It downloaded, I think, an MP3, or you could just play it back via the web.
Okay.
So it worked great.
Yeah, and so. That would probably be the way to go here. Jason Applebaum kind of expanded on the reason why it's not possible. He says there's a technical limitation for recording a call, not a privacy one, plain and simple. The call audio is not routed through the operating system. It's done at a hardware level, which kind of makes sense because your calls kind of operate independently, you know, at least they're being sent through a different part of your phone than everything else, all of the data and everything on your phone. So it makes sense to me anyways that would possibly be kind of siphoned off from the access of a lot of these apps. So maybe Google Voice is the way to kind of do what you're looking to do there, Marco. I hope that works, and I hope it's a good workaround.
Let us know.
Yeah.
So quickly before we move on from the email, the chat room let us know that the print ad from Apple did run in the UK. And Chad, I dropped that into the chat room. You can see it there. So we can see what Apple ran as their apology in the newspapers in the UK, which is not as obnoxious as the website. But it's also not very obvious in terms of how it looks because it's just a small, it's almost like a correction that when you see in the newspaper and a little block of text that has no kind of connection to Apple or anything like that. So yeah, you can zoom in and take a look at it. So,
yeah. Wow.
Yep.
There you go. Well, and it's interesting too, because if they're trying to get this kind of point across, or if the court kind of goal is to get Apple to get this point across to just the everyday person, who is ever going to look at any chunk of text with that many like numbers and you know what I mean? Like it's not friendly to read. It's not something that you look at, you glance at, and you go, oh, that's helpful information that I think I'm going to read start to finish. If you just happen to glance at it, mm-hmm. I see all those numbers, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't even want to.
You gloss right over that. You don't
yeah, absolutely, that. Automatically.
All right. Cool.
All right, let's dive into hardware. Dive in, Ron.
So one of the byproducts of my recent crazy rant about the Apple Mini was that now when anything happens iPad related, people are telling me, which is awesome, which is great. But I heard about this story as soon as it kind of hit the wires and all things like that. But in a recent market share numbers came out, and Apple's iPad market share number dropped down to what it previously was, while Samsung's tablets increased, which is kind of interesting. So they Apple's iPads got 50.4% of the market share in the third quarter 2012, which was a total of about 27.8 total units shipped worldwide, while Samsung was at 18.4% and Amazon at 9%, which are increases from those previous quarters that were reported. So if you're looking at year-over-year kind of numbers, Apple was at 59.7 in third quarter 2011, and now 1 year later, they're down about just under 10% to 50.4, while Android could be said is surging with Samsung at 18.4, Amazon at 9.0, Asus at 8.6, and Lenovo and some others rounding out the bottom of the pack at 13%. So, you know, but this isn't anything like I'm not dancing on – this isn't like dancing on Apple's grave or anything like that. This is natural as – honestly, in the you know, the Apple Mini just came out. That's not going to have an impact on this on these numbers. The iPad hadn't been updated in about a year, so it kind of lost some of its energy. While Samsung and Amazon and Asus have been kind of, you know, throwing out products and throwing out marketing, and there's more available. So I feel like this is just kind of more of that leveling off that we've seen between Android and iOS. So it's not anything to get overly excited about and start declaring victory on. So not that we need to declare a victory, but you know what I mean. So, I'm just saying. Well, I try not to talk with this hyperbole. It's really hard.
The last iPad revision before the one that we just had, because it was kind of unexpected that we just had one, right?
Right.
Because
it happened in February,
which mm-hmm. isn't too long ago.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't like a game changer. You know what I mean? Like, what was it? It was the Retina display.
It was Retina,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was Retina, and that was really it, right? It wasn't. It was the same kind of form factor and the same bezel as the iPad 2. It wasn't any sort of major seismic shift. I felt as if it was like a point. It was like a point release.
And then when you look at kind of what's happened in the last year in Android tablets, I mean, the big thing that happened was this time last year, it was the Kindle Fire. And that was that was kind of the first tablet where suddenly you heard a lot of people talking about an Android mm-hmm. tablet. Before that, there were just little players that, you know, didn't really gain traction. Since then, mm-hmm. I mean, what did Samsung have before that? Was it just the Galaxy Tab?
The Tab, because that and they didn't had the well. Tab 2.
But did the Tab 2 come out in 2012? The beginning of 2012?
Yes.
See, yes. I feel like Samsung's big tablets, and they've had quite a few now, have all happened this year. Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense that they would see such great growth from this time last year. I mean, they were at 6.5% last year.
Yeah, you've got a full year. You got a full year of Amazon Kindle Fire sales. You've got all that growth of Samsung. You've got all that growth from Asus, who were 3.8 years ago.
Asus has done a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So, you know, it was a big year for Android tablets. You know, and I think next year is going to even be bigger.
Yeah.
I think it's going to continue to chip away. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple goes under 50%, even with the Mini.
Yeah.
Because I'm not convinced that everybody out there. I mean, I did some research recently, and it was something like it was a staggering number of the American adult population owns tablets. Like it was kind of shocking. It was nearly like I want to say it was half the American population adult population owns tablets. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't that, it was awfully close, which is just amazing. So you got to wonder at what point are people buying iPad Minis who already own? Are they already iPad owners? Mm-hmm. You know, so right. Like it's gonna be how that affects the market share kind of numbers is gonna be interesting too. So.
Sure, and we've talked, you know, in the past about just the sheer fact that Android tablets, just as a group, are, you know, going to likely follow in the same footsteps as Android phones as a group. There's just a lot of manufacturers creating a lot of devices, and all of those devices go up against, you know, the one that you hear about, the iPad, and mm-hmm. surely those numbers are going to be greater over time. We're right at the start of that, obviously.
Yep.
All right, speaking of competitors to Apple, Samsung came out with some news, and they have confirmed that 30 million channel sales of the flagship Galaxy S3 have shipped. Now, that's... not direct sales. Those are just shipped phones. 30 million of the Galaxy S3 is out there, and that's within 5 months, and that's three times faster than the sales rate of the Galaxy S2. Also, just a footnote, Galaxy Note 2 sales, Samsung says 3 million sold in 1 month. That's pretty good. The 3 million in 1 month is pretty neat. So Samsung, on fire. Just saying. They're all over the place with their sexy ads and their big phones. They're all over the place. I see Samsung everywhere. Actually, I see Microsoft everywhere these days, but press ad-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Like embedded in ads and
I don't see Microsoft
TV shows
devices
and
out
sponsorships.
There
not necessarily places. Devices, but man, whatever money they're putting through, which apparently is a lot of $1 billion into promotion, I see.
Oh, they are doing a crazy promotional blitz right now. I mean, it's that time for them.
I know. I'm just surprised on where I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in like music videos, just very like embedded, like seeing the Nokia 920 embedded in a music video, very, very ever so slightly in the middle of the song. You know, crazy. I just noticed, I'm like, oh, that's a Nokia phone. That's in this time period where Microsoft's going berserk with their ads. I'm like, wow, okay. At the same time, Samsung's doing pretty well themselves.
Yeah, no, they're doing all right. So this is really cool. I didn't know which segment of our show to put this in. So I was like, it's real.
Hardware.
So it's, you know, it's like
physical.
Tangible. So it's hardware. Sure. Why not? Yeah. We're talking about the physical Google Wallet card coming soon. Android Police got a tip, and it's basically a bunch of screenshots pulled from a future version of the Google Wallet app for Android. And it details an actual physical Google Wallet card. And I love the idea of this just specifically because I've really enjoyed Google Voice, mm-hmm. and just kind of the thought of having a phone that connects to all of your phones and, you know, the flexibility around that. And this would be kind of the same, but with credit cards. So you'd have your Google Wallet card, and it would have the account number that you would use at any place that would take a credit card. And then that, depending on how you have it set up through your account, would extract, you know, the funds from whatever card it's associated with. You can do person-to-person transfers using the card. Just a lot of really cool stuff. I believe there's transit card storage so that you can store all of your transit cards on there as well.
Really?
Really cool
That's
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I absolutely love this. This totally taps into my desire to have Google Wallet, like just to use my phone and carry Google Wallet around and pay with it whenever I can. But if the place doesn't have the receiver,
exactly.
then you just use the card. That's great.
Absolutely.
It's genius.
It kind of goes against the whole thought the initial thought of, well, Google Wallet is so you can leave your wallet at home. But your wallet isn't so big if all you're carrying around is one card and it has everything in it.
The thing is, you can't leave your wallet, at least for me, I can't leave my wallet at home because it has my ID in it, it has my insurance card, it has all those things like that. So you're still going to have a wallet with you. I would much rather carry one card than just a few. It solves the problem of if the stores won't carry the receivers or the stores don't have the tech set up, then you can still use it because that's been the major stumbling block. My only thing about this is that it's eerily like an April 1st joke. Like, it just, there's just enough detail for me to go, is this real? Really? Because it's just so unbelievable. But it's plausible. You could see it working. So, and it's not April. So I'm sure, I'm hoping that it's real.
I mean, it makes perfect sense for Google to go down this route. You know, Google Wallet just as a feature, by and large, in my opinion, is really, has at this point been tied to the Android ecosystem. Even though Wallet, you know, and paying for things through the web is a possibility, I mean, really kind of the feature that they're hinging this on is, you know, you're going to use your device for all these things and it's going to be your wallet, you know, your account in the cloud managed by Google. And it really ties into the Android OS. This allows them to open it up and say, you don't need a phone with NFC. You don't need an Android phone. You can just use our service. And I'm sure they end up, you know, making some money from that somehow. They're managing a lot of money in that case. So.
Counts as hardware. Cool, physical thing.
Sure.
Love it.
Yeah, that was kind of my rationale.
I agree.
It's like, sure, hardware, whatever. So let's take a voicemail. Michael left us a voicemail and kind of had a few points just based on a few things from last week's episode that I thought were kind of cool. Yet.
Hi, my name is Michael from Birmingham, Alabama. I know you guys prefer the call to be condensed, but I have two topics to comment on. First, Eileen's question regarding whether or not LTE is a factor for us to purchase a Nexus 4. And the other topic is an alternative to Ron's Arena app. LTE is not a factor for me at all. I currently have LTE via the HTC Thunderbolt and Verizon. Thunderbolt was Verizon's LTE launch phone, so I got it, early adopter. And LTE is impressively fast, but the Android updates are infuriatingly slow. The Thunderbolt came with Gingerbread. HTC promised ICS in August. It is now November. And I still have Gingerbread. So my next phone will be a Nexus regardless of LTE, manufacturer, or any factor. If it doesn't have the word Nexus on it, I don't want it.
Boom.
As for the scheduling SMS, Ron mentioned that he would have preferred if the app was an SMS replacement so you could do everything within the app. I just want to let you know that there is such an app. Go SMS Pro is an SMS replacement app for the Go Launcher X team, which does include scheduling messages. But unlike auto SMS, it also has auto reply, SMS backups, custom themes, and a lot more. Essentially, it has everything auto SMS has, but it is also a replacement app. Exactly what Ron wanted. And despite the Pro label, the SMS Pro is free. Love the show, and sorry for the long message.
That's okay.
Don't be sorry, Michael. Forgiven. That was awesome.
Two yeah. pretty good points.
Go SMS Pro.
Did we cover that? I feel like
we did.
Back when.
Way back in the day because I was such a Go girl for
yeah,
a while.
No,
I
exactly.
had so many
like,
Go apps. I was like, I love this app. I love this other Go app and this app. And I actually have used that Go app in the past. I just haven't since I've been using the Nexus.
I'm sure we covered this at some point.
I recognize that icon.
Yeah, I've used it. It's just the thing about Go is that any app, they constantly do updates. They constantly add features. So if and when I ever profiled this, I'm sure it has gone beyond leaps and bounds.
Actually, referring to our All About Android apps list at wiki.twit.tv in the All About Android section, it appears Go SMS Pro All About Android episode 20. So in the arena.
And let's remind everybody that we are on 84 right now.
Featured so, in the arena.
That's what I thought. And I had used that app for at least a year.
Yeah, that was
at
you.
At least.
That was our SMS apps.
There you go.
Because they have a lot of apps. They have weather apps and calendaring and
now
email.
Now I want to know which one won.
And
it was Chomp for Ron, Handsent for me, and Go SMS Pro for you.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And so, I don't know who won.
So check that
like
out, Ron.
SMS might have won. I feel like Eileen's won that one.
Did I win with Go?
Of course, I could just go to the poll and check it out. And Go SMS Pro did win.
Oh,
or at least it has since then, if it hadn't before. I don't know how much of a life these votes have.
Yeah, I don't either.
I like the idea of people still voting on Android apps. You know, it's like, I'm going to impact the change. I'm going to vote.
Rock the vote from a year and a half ago, whatever. So that's a great suggestion. And then LTE as a factor. What do you guys think?
Well, I know that there are a lot of people that don't need it, just like Michael. And his response about not getting the updates, being frustrated with that, you know, it's an issue. And he is of that like that does not appreciate that. Now, we've talked about it before. There are other consumers that they don't even know that's ice cream sandwich. They just say, oh, this is an update. Okay, It's my phone. Oh, whatever. So, yeah, it seems to me that there is, I don't know how large of a faction of people that is, but I've been seeing speed tests posted on HSPA Plus, and there's some pretty fast speeds.
Yeah, then it's a matter of coverage area. Yeah. You know, do you live in a place that has it? Yeah, you know, my view on this, I've thought about it a lot over the past few weeks since this has all happened, and what we're realizing is that Google is going the direction that affects the most people worldwide. Mm-hmm. LTE is a U.S. Mm-hmm. kind of thing. It really only affects people in the U.S. Now, that not to say that that isn't important, but what I've come to understand and admit about my Galaxy Nexus on Verizon is that it's not a Nexus. It's a Nexus by name, but it's not a Nexus by, you know, by promise, by the Google promise. And what Google is doing here is allowing themselves to hold true to that promise, leaving LTE to the sidelines as a result of that. But I kind of think that's okay, because in the big picture, that allows them to do exactly what they've set out with the Nexus program. And there are alternatives to LTE in the U.S. You know, only option.
And you can still buy that phone on Verizon, right?
That's a good question. I don't know if you can still get the Galaxy Nexus on Verizon. Okay. That's a very good question, actually, because you can't get the Galaxy Nexus through the Play Store anymore.
But that was unlocked without LTE anyway. Right. So
yeah, I feel like Verizon's going to sell through their stock. They're not going to just pull it. Yeah.
Right. Why would they do that? So I don't know. You know, it has me questioning what I'm going to do when my contract is up. Like,
when's
I'm
your
actually
contract up? Next year,
another year. Yeah, another year. But
so start the watch now.
Yes, right.
Well, here's the thing. So maybe Google had a bad experience with Verizon, and that's why they decided that they, you know, didn't care.
And Sprint.
So who knows? Maybe a year from now, some of those negotiations will be different, and maybe there will be an LTE phone. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, they have to be able, you know, Google would have to be able to exert the kind of control over, you know, OS releases that they get on other carriers. And from what I understand about LTE, you know, it's a whole technology and kind of there's cost involved in that, and there's security layers that they have to clear beforehand. So a lot of the delays that you get by not getting, you know, the update on the LTE version of the Galaxy or the Nexus versus other places are specifically tied to those reasons. And I don't know how you get around those. I mean, there will always be those considerations, and they might be more open to it, but they're not going to let Google just push something out without, you know, the security clearances that Verizon insists they have to do in order to even have a device on their network.
The delay in your update was what? When vanilla?
When Jelly Bean?
Yeah. What was the delay? A couple months or a month?
Oh, it was months.
Was it 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
It that
I mean,
long? Okay.
It really did not come out very long ago. And I mean, Jelly Bean was what? I.O.?
Yeah, that was.
So it was June, July, August, September. Yeah. It was at least 3 months, would be my guess right off the top of my head. But it was considerable. It was like, are you kidding me? I have a Nexus and I got it for this reason and it's still not here. Okay. I mean, I didn't notice it myself because I rooted and ROM, you know, and I was.
But Chad did, I think, because you didn't root and ROM your phone, right?
When did you get it? Got it.
It was like, I'd say
it was like
less than a month ago.
Yeah, it was less than a month ago
that I finally got it.
And that's
October from July. Mm.
And in fact, it took so long that truly I'm thinking about not sticking with Verizon the next time that I need to get a new phone.
Right.
Oh,
Going unlocked and unsubsidized phone. By the way, just to the point, you can buy a Nexus on Verizon for a $99 on contract. And then folks are saying in the chat room for $150 around, I forget the exact number, you can buy it pre-certified without a contract.
Oh, okay.
So that's an interesting $350.
That's not a bad deal. It's not so antiquated a phone, and if you got to worry about the updates and all stuff like that. But honestly, like if you, there's somebody in your life who's not a super user and is looking for a solid good phone, that's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again, Michael, for your voicemail. That was really good. Had a good discussion on it too.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Apps.
Apple. All right, that's not me.
So my ongoing love-hate relationship with Google Music.
What's happening now?
No, and this is somewhat cool. Okay. One of the little bells and whistles that they showed off in Android 4.2 and Jelly Bean was this new Music Explorer, which would be in the Google Play Store. And it looks like they're not waiting for Android 4.2 to be completely distributed. In fact, they flipped the switch on some users, and now the Music Explorer is now live and available in some people's Google Play stores. I checked my phone and I checked my Google Play store on the web. I don't have access to it. I haven't checked my tablet though. I got to check to see if that is updated recently. But now you'll be able to kind of grab this nifty kind of graphical UI hop from, you know, from Britney Spears to Jennifer Lopez to the Spice Girls, as in this example. And if that's your way, then go for it. That's good. I own a couple of Spice Girls records. I'm not ashamed.
Then you will like Britney Spears.
Exactly. So this is a neat little way to kind of discover similar artists. And it's another way, you know, kind of a fun, you know, interactive way for music discovery. So it's neat to see them adding these little things into Google Play to make it a little more interactive, since they control the whole universe, the whole UI of it. So if you've got it, enjoy it. I'll be on the lookout to see when the update comes to me. So
what's your deal with Google Music these days?
We haven't been talking very much. I've been pretty busy, but
we haven't been talking.
I mean, it's the same as last week. The frustrations I had with Google Music mainly, and the cover art and all that stuff. I was actually planning this week to dive into my problems with the playlists and things like that, where I see the playlist repeating. Like I'll do like a 10 song playlist, and next time I look at it, it's 150 songs. It just repeated the playlist like 10 times. But I'm going to dive in to see if there's anybody talking about that on the development side of things, to see if it's just me or if other people are having it out there. But I want to love it so much. I'm trying so hard. So,
All right. Well, yep. We will check in with you. Hey, Amazon, they also sell music, but they just released a new cloud drive app for photos for Android, and it's free. You can obviously get it in the Amazon App Store, and you can also get it on Google Play. Essentially, what it does is it allows you to store photos to the cloud using the Amazon Cloud Drive system in this app. They're giving you 5 gigs of storage for free, and then after that, you could buy more storage starting at $10 a year for an additional 20 gigs. If you want to compare, Dropbox offers 2 gigs for free, and then $9.99 a month buys you 100 gigs. So, you know, I mean, if you're if you own a Kindle Fire, if you just love the Amazon ecosystem, this might be for you. The app itself, I could show you here, I think, or did you show that already, Chad? Essentially, what it does is it shows the photos that are on your device, and then it shows you what it actually uploaded to the cloud already. So, I only have 5 gigs. I just downloaded the app today. And you can go from your device and tap on a photo and, let's see here, if you long tap it, you could remove it from your device or you can upload it to the cloud drive. So I'll upload that. And then there's also an option for sharing, although that seemed, well, I don't know if it's because it was today or whatever, but it seemed to take forever for me to, send it to anything. I hit that. For send, hoping that, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever would come up, and I just keep getting this long turning symbol this entire time. So I have not shared
your photos with the world one person at a time.
I have not been able to share from the Amazon Cloud Drive app. So I don't know, maybe that's just a bug or whatever.
That interface is very similar to the whole Kindle Fire cloud versus device, and then also the Kindle app too, where it's like, what do you have, archive versus whatever. But so does this make is Amazon the last entry into cloud storage? Does everyone have a cloud storage solution now?
I think so. So anyways, check it out. You get 5 gigs for free either way. It's kind of nice if
you continue your digital hoarding. Yeah. In another spot.
Just if you're like me.
Little holes buried all around the web.
I've got 20 of the same photos here, 20 of the same photos here, 20 of the same photos over here. Why not?
I feel like we're going to see a whole, like, stories coming out. You know how, like, there's always the stories of, like, the man who has, like, two families in two separate towns? It's like, that's going to be how, like, one family's on Amazon, the other family's on Dropbox. It's like,
you know what? That's probably already true.
I know. Yeah, it's probably already happening.
Once you said that, oh, man. I saved my family in Louisiana on Dropbox. I saved my Texas family on SugarSync. I saved my California family on Amazon Cloud Drive. Where do you save your family?
I'll never forget that. That was an episode of Quantum Leap when Sam leaped into somebody's body at the airport and he was saying goodbye to his family. And then he, like, turned the corner and there was a family there waiting for him, welcoming him home from a trip. And that was how he navigated the two different families.
I remember that. I totally think I remember that episode. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, anyway.
I don't, and I loved that show.
I think Quantum Leap's on Netflix.
I'm going to hop on Netflix and check it out. So let's talk about 4.2 a little bit, shall we? First of all, before we get to the fun show-offy stuff, Android VP of Engineering Hiroshi Lockheimer had a chat with Computer World about the added security features of 4.2 Jelly Bean, and of note is a real-time app scanning utility that extends the Play Store functionality. Basically, what it does is it scans apps from third-party sources, and this is opt-in, thankfully, which sends identifiable info about the app to Google. It actually scans the APK for, like, a signature and sends that to Google, where it's analyzed and compared against known baddies. And if the app is okay, you'll never actually know that the scan ever took place. If it's a bad app, your installation will be interrupted. So it's kind of cool. They're, you know, taking security at least a little bit more seriously and targeting third-party sources, which in the past, you know, of course, Google's scanning all the stuff in the Play Store. Yeah. This allows them to kind of take that kind of database of bad stuff and compare it against the third-party apps that you're installing. And again, it's opt-in, so that was good of them to show that off. But enough about security and boring stuff.
Let's show off
some 4.2 stuff. Mm-hmm. So there was there was a thread on Reddit that I have it attached to my Google Plus page where you could flash, if you're rooted, you can flash the Google Apps, what they called a leaked Google Apps package that'll replace some of the apps that Google would normally do with the ones from 4.2. Not official, and I'm told it's buggy. I haven't encountered any bugs. But in this case, it's totally like, as Jerry Hildebrand put it, buyer beware. Only do this if you know kind of what you're getting into, because it's kind of like, yes, install this on your device and hope for the best. And I went ahead and did it for science. So there we go.
I live dangerously.
So let's see here. So I'll show off just a few of the things. First of all, I'll go into Evernote and pull up the keyboard here because, of course, you know, it's the new keyboard with the swipe. So this is a test of the new keyboard. I really like the bolded, like, hovering word. Whoa. By the way, it actually is kind of handy to have that. Your eye, as you're typing with it, does kind of draw to it more than it does in that, like, recommendation block up there that you get with some of the other
It floats with it.
So it's floating. Nice. What is it going to spell if I do this? Graylish. Hey, this is kind of a fun little game. Here, Fordshire. Okay. That's apparently what I meant to type, is Herefordshire.
Are you going to Herefordshire pretty soon, Jason?
Where is Herefordshire? So there we go. That's the new keyboard. I've used it just for today primarily because I forgot that that was part of the package. I installed this yesterday, and I like SwiftKey.
So yeah, you do.
I'm sold on the SwiftKey thing, but this is nice to have. It's certainly easier to type with one thumb, but, you know, it's very similar to swipe. The gallery, little changes here. One thing with the gallery is that you get a little bit of the photo roll in kind of a similar way that you would through the camera app. Maybe that was the same as before, but I've found a few other things in there. But the gallery does give you access to the Photosphere viewer. So if we go in there, this is a Photosphere I did earlier today in the Twit studio, and I had a little bit of blockiness in some of the edges, but these Photospheres are a lot of fun to make, but
man, I can tell, like, it's going to take me a while to really get used to doing them so that there aren't these weird little glitches.
Do you know how big that file is now?
That's a really good question. I haven't checked it out. I wonder if, I can't remember if in the normal gallery I
can. So before you take all these photos, Fias, make sure you got some space.
Details. Let's see here. 1.78 megs.
Okay.
So, I don't know. That's not too bad. No.
I like how you said that warning like a 1930s newsreel.
What's that?
Before you take those photos, Fias, make sure you've got space on your phone.
Make sure you got the space before you take the photos, Fias. So before you go crazy on the photos, Fias.
Speaking
all across America, people are taking photos, Fias, and not worrying about their hard drive space.
Those of you with the 8 gig Nexus 4 might want to clear your space if you want to do photos, Fias. Sorry, Jason.
I can't continue. I'm entranced by your voice.
I want to see the new clock.
You want to see the new clock? Well, here, how about I finish up the camera because it's attached to Photosphere and I have it open already. So there's the camera. Hold down and you get the little menu. The one thing I'm noticing right off the top, as you can kind of see from this view, is that it can't help but cover some of your options, right? So when you're looking it down, as you often are, like you kind of don't know what you're hitting on those bottom areas. Like you almost have to like tweak it around to really see.
That's not cool. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe over time you understand that, you know, auto white balance is the first option and, you know, fluorescent light is down there or whatever.
It almost will become like a muscle memory kind of thing.
Yeah, but I wouldn't bank on that, Google. A lot of people are just going to get frustrated with that. Having said that, though, I really do like this for the most part. If it was just a matter of really kind of tweaking, if there was some way for it to know which side of the phone your thumb is coming from and then not put something underneath your thumb, that would be awesome. But I don't know how they'd do that. But anyways, I like this a lot better than the other settings. And then, of course, if we go down here. You can go into Photosphere mode. And you get this thing, right?
Oh.
And so I'll realign it, and you just follow the dots, right? So I go up there. There we go. That now it's aligned. And then as I rotate around, this is going to be the worst Photosphere ever. It's going to be like all angled and stuff. It's really hard to hear. Let me just do this. See, so you just basically follow it around, line up the dot, and hold. And there you go. Okay, so I'll do this last one, and then we'll let it generate. And then we'll be amazed.
He's tilting his phone, everybody. This is, the audio listeners, he's tilting his phone.
This is going to be a weird one. But anyway, so then you just do that, and in the background, it's processing. It doesn't show you while it's processing, which is a little strange. But it is happening, and you see it in the notification pull down. And then finally, because you asked for it.
Oh, no, I still have one question on the camera.
Oh, well, let me switch back over. What's your question? Yes, Eileen.
What about those fancy Instagram filters they had?
Oh.
You have that on there?
That's a good question.
Where is that?
Where are they?
I don't know, but they showed it off in that video.
After you take the picture, it's got to be post-processing. So take pictures in the gallery.
Yeah. So it probably would be gallery, wouldn't it?
So,
You can also just swipe. There you go. You got it.
And then now.
And then edit. There we go.
Yeah, Demado's filters.
But we had some filters in the one. Yeah. You have to click edit to get there. I don't know if maybe they've kind of tweaked the presentation. Maybe they've added some stuff. But yeah, they definitely had some filters built into it. You just have to go into the gallery and go edit.
Obviously, someone never used it.
Well, yeah, because it's not so obvious, you know?
I kind of forgot.
It's not right there in the camera app after you take a picture. The option for that would actually be kind of cool.
I see it here. But they see it. There's more.
They are a little bit different. The presentation is a little bit different. Yeah. There's a little bit more offered. And finally, Ron, I know you've been waiting with bated breath.
I have been.
And boy, is it stinky. But here we go. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
But I'm bump.
So there we go. There's the clock app. We could set an alarm if we wanted to.
We like it much better.
Yeah,
it's pretty slick. Over here, we have a timer, so 5 minutes start.
What font is that?
Ooh, it's got to stop. Ooh.
It has a timer.
That's Roboto.
We can add a minute if we want.
Oh, that's right, Roboto, the new font. Yeah. You're right.
And it just follows the little track around.
That's cool.
Over here is a stopwatch.
So pretty much all stopwatch and timer apps now just don't matter.
Yeah, kind of not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless they do, you know, the laundry too.
I like the inclusion of red. Can you go back to the alarms? Because then it wasn't alarms there in bold and.
Uh-oh. See, your mileage may vary. It just crashed on me. But so that, and by the way, that's the first bug that I've seen since I've been playing around with this stuff.
Is that a bug or a
and
crash?
It's not. It's just,
oh, that's a bug. Yeah, there you go.
Well, who knows? It might not even be official. It might be because that's going.
So, yeah.
No. Okay. We can't get back there. Sorry.
You're out of luck, bro.
Ron's I hope you like, don't need
but
to wake
the
up
clock app. Yeah, clock app.
I think your stopwatch was still going.
Yeah, I just turned it off though.
Last one on the
phone. Oh, the last one?
It's freaking out. What's it doing?
It's telling me 4.03.
Oh, that's when you stop. Oh. I'm
here,
wrong.
I'll go ahead and just read it, you know. We'll trash that cuz there's a trash can there. And then we'll go. Hey, what do you know? We got rid of it all. We were able to do it.
So there see we go. That alarms up in the upper left-hand corner? That's pretty bold. That's very
It's an interesting color choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here, I'll cancel this so you see it. You really don't see that red color anywhere else in the OS.
Nope. Yeah, especially the blue revolution that happened with the ice cream sandwich.
Right.
So, yeah, fascinating.
But anyways, it's definitely a different looking app. It kind of follows the design aesthetic, but it's definitely... I mean, it definitely looks very different from anything else that's system-wide. But it's a couple of neato features. There you go.
Nice.
All right. Cool. Ron, you go.
Yes, I see I have an email to read from Rick, who wrote in and said, "Hey, All About Android team. Unfortunately, not a long-time listener, as I only discovered your show about 2 months ago, but I like them so much, I've started going back to listen to the older episodes during the week. And hopefully he's voting as he listens, because that's what you have to do in the arena." Anyway, so Rick said, "I started going back to listen to older episodes and came across episode 72. We read an email from Rami, regarding his app feed website for tracking Android apps. As you guys suggested, an Android developer should contact him and get an Android version out there. I sent Rami an email that night, and to my great surprise, no one had even contacted him. I talked with Rami about an Android version, but he's been too busy on other projects to work on an Android version. I really like the idea of the Android version, so here it is. App Watch, and here's a link to it in the Google Play Store.
And I have it, Chad.
And so Jason's got it there. And Rick further says, an additional use case that I didn't list in the app description might be for hosts of Android shows who might find it a convenient way to keep track of apps they want to review later, like maybe for a contest or something. I'm sure this is a common use case, so I really should update the market description. Anyway, any comments or suggestions are welcome. Signed, Rick." So Rick has stepped up to the challenge, and he worked with Rami on the App Watch.
Did you
Android
just
app.
Say Romney?
Romney? I'm sorry. Election fever here. It's election fever. So you can get it in the Google Play Store, and we've got that right there. Or you can just search for App Watch, and it's pretty cool. Good job.
Yeah, it does exactly what we're talking about in an app level, not just on a website. You go in and you go ahead and tell it, you know, notify me when it updates or when it goes on sale or both.
Nice.
Or none, if that's what you want to do. But there you go. Pretty cool stuff.
I just love that idea of the community, like somebody reaching out. I'm shocked that nobody – I know there was a lot of talk about it on Twitter when that episode came out, but I'm shocked that nobody actually emailed them and offered to step up. So I'm somewhat disappointed in all that Android community, but I'm also glad that Rick stepped up. So
I'm not disappointed because the All About Android community came through in the end.
They did. True, they did. Exactly. Yes.
They've got a lot of apps that they're developing, and just so turns out that Rick had the time. And Rick, thank you so much for doing that. That is awesome. And I'm sure that Rami is pretty excited about that as well, I have to imagine. Very cool stuff. Speaking of apps, let's speak more about them in the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom. All right, let's take a look at last week's results. And this was down to the wire. Seriously.
Wow. American Red Cross held in there.
Yeah.
Nice.
They were all three super close. Earlier today, the minimal reader was ahead by one vote.
Wow.
Good on you, everybody.
Hey, I love it when it turns out like that, because then each of the apps was valuable to, you know, the majority of people had a favorite and they were closely aligned. So
that's great.
I would not have predicted those results.
I know.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there you go. Minimal reader first at 36%. Auto SMS sender second at 33%. First aid, American Red Cross, third at 31%.
So I guess that means I don't go first. Who goes first?
I would go first.
Yeah, I didn't order them because it was so close. I was like, this could change until right up before the show.
I will go first. So, you know, there's a bunch of photo weird sort of editing apps out there, and there are many apps that do the same, and this is one of the latest apps out there. It's free in the Google Play Store, and it's called Photo Punch, because essentially what you do is you punch out part of your photo, and then, like, so if you want to make a meme, if you want to do some weird caricature photos, make a weird caricature photo, you can do that with this app, and I'll show you how easy it is to use. If you want, you can make them funny. I made this one of Tom, so I punched him out, and then I put a background, and then I gave him. I was like, how does this work? And then you could just share it and whatever. You say, I just saved it to my photo gallery.
You just punched Tom out.
I punched Tom out. And
how does he feel about that?
Let me see if I can show you the actual photo. The
from
actual
the punch.
From the punch. The actual
does
photo.
Does it make a sound effect when you punch him out?
You know what? This was the photo. So I punched him out. There he is with the surface. Punched him out of that and then gave him that funky background with the funky text. So
wow.
Let's punch someone out. So I'm going to open up the app. Very simple. You guys can maybe help me kind of label. So you can see once you have, you make an account and then you can see and follow other people on Photo Punch. You could see the popular ones here. They lay it out a la Instagram kind of thing. But let's punch something out, right?
Yeah,
so I'm going to hit punch. And then you could take a photo or you could go from your gallery. You could even search on the web. I'm going to find a gallery here. And I can go anywhere in any gallery that I want. I think, let's see here. Maybe I will grab the tapestry photo of us.
Aww.
So, I don't know. Should we punch Ron out? Let's punch
Ron. Yeah, let's punch Ron out.
Hey. Yeah, punch me out.
He's not here. He can't defend himself. Let's punch him out.
So, there's three ways to punch. There's this way, which you just draw a circle around the thing you want to punch, and you could be a little bit more precise in this middle tab here and really use, like, a more incision. And then there's another create punch shots. Okay, I don't know. I just draw the circle. It's the easiest thing. So I'm going to draw a circle. It's, you know, I wonder if I had, like, the note with a stylus, how much easier that would be, because with my fat finger on the small thing. And oh, by the way, this app didn't work on my Nexus 7. I would have loved to have shown you on a bigger screen, but apparently it does not compatible. So I'm not quite sure what's up with that. So let's just draw around Ron. I'm going to punch him out. Oh, I didn't mean to punch it like that. Well, that's fine. I'll punch him out like that. So, then you just hit the next button. This is going to be fun. Come on, Ron. Where are you?
I'm a difficult person to punch.
You are. Where are you? Uh-oh. Punch shot. Those are all Toms. Darn it. Okay, let me go back. Some difficulties here.
One catch about this app is that it only works on photos of Tom Merritt. So hopefully everyone wants to punch Tom Merritt.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to start over. Sorry, guys. Punch. I noticed that the picture went dark for whatever reason. Ugh. Come on. Punch. Draw a circle. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, punch that guy.
Okay, next. Okay, you've been punched. All right, so now
the floating Ron head.
I can add a background. What background? I'll just use a simple background here. Should I put him in the earth, in the sky? What do you guys want here? I don't want this demo to be too long. By the swan, there's all these little things here.
The skyline.
The skyline? Which one? Yeah. This one here?
Yeah. Okay. Is that nice? Or? Well, I can't tell. I'm looking at it from New York.
No, I think this is going to be beautiful. This is going to be perfect.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't want to select that one. I don't know why. Oh, because I have to pay for it. See, there's some in-app purchases or whatever. So I'm just going to, let's see. I don't think I can pick that.
Is it just the blue tab one that you can do?
I'm not good enough for a background?
I guess not. What the heck? Ugh. I hit cancel. What? Okay. So wait. Now I go to bat. I just did this yesterday. What the hell? Okay. So let's do that.
And then go back? Yeah, it's just not selecting it. Ron's face cannot be punched.
No, it is punched. It's just I can't get a background on here. I'm really kind of concerned. So
it's unbackgroundable.
Huh? Oh, I don't want to cancel.
It's unbackgroundable.
But I can put filters on you. Look at me. I'm changing your. You can put filters on the punched item.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's put him in charcoal. I can put a frame around him. I could do a colorful frame around that. You can just do crazy things like you see on those GIFs. I can actually put like a mustache on you. Let's do that. Oh, see, he doesn't want to do that. Well, shoot.
Okay, no mustache, please.
Oh, I know. How about if I make it bigger? So I swear it. Oh, yeah. So you can make Ron bigger. You can tilt him. You can move him around. Can I put a wig on him? Ron doesn't want. Jeez, come on, Ron.
You sure, mustache repeller, you.
Well, supposedly I can do other things, but it's not happening here. Fail.
Aww.
All right. Well, let me just give you a.
No.
Dang.
All you can do is show Ron.
All I can do is punch out Ron. What the hell? Let's see, can I do that? Do that, yeah.
Is it showing up behind his head?
No.
No.
No, wow. They should add layers. Yeah. They added layers earlier. This is pathetic. Well, don't vote for my app now. This is when things go wrong. It's like
when things go wrong.
Don't vote for my app. Well, here, I'm just going to save you. And now you're in my photo gallery as a punched out Ron.
That was worth it right there.
Should I even look at my gallery? I'm afraid. Okay, hold on. Yes. Discard changes. Where's my gallery? Oh, I need to go out here.
There's your show title. Eileen punches Ron.
This is so pathetic. I'm going to do another punch out while somebody goes.
Yeah, you work on a punch out.
I'm going to work on a punch out. But, okay, so that's the app. You're supposed to make all funny things. You're supposed to, like, can you show some photos on this app?
I'm so mad at this app now. I feel for you, Eileen.
So you punch it out, you put them in backgrounds, you have to pay for some new backgrounds, and boom. At least I showed you the Tom one. I'm going to make one right now.
At least we know that it works because we saw the Tom one. Yes, I feel for you, Eileen. I've been there.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It totally.
You kind of don't know
forever.
When it's going to happen either, but it's.
You don't know.
It's just, it's a factor in the arena sometimes.
You know, if it's going to be crappy like that, then you probably don't want to vote for it, but whatever. That's Punch Out, and it's free in the Google App Store. I'm going to make a punch while these two go.
Yeah, you punch. All right, you go run.
Well, mine's been removed from the rundown, so
no, it hasn't.
I don't know if things or not. Yeah, so I don't know, but I'm eliminated.
It wasn't me.
There's two of you in there, Jason.
Yeah, hang on, I'm pulling it up. I just need
someone.
To pull
it up. What is going on? I know. Someone who edited that needs to hit undo because I can't hit undo.
No, I see it. Okay, I'm going. You guys
yeah, you go. I'll dig it up.
All right. I'm going to go.
Best arena ever.
I'm going to reel this back in. All right. So I don't know if you remember, I can't remember if it was pre-show, post-show, or during the show last week, but I admitted that I was running out of space on my phone. And, you know, it's got 32 gigs. 32 gigs. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Like, honestly, I know I don't have 32 gigs worth of stuff on here. Right. So how am I running out of space? And I was down to like 400 or 500 megs. And, you know, for science, I installed Storage Analyzer because I wanted to see. Basically, what I wanted to do is break down the directory structure of my device and find out which folders contained the most data so that I could decide like, oh, well, why does that folder have a bunch of stuff in there? I don't need any of that. Get rid of it. So Storage Analyzer does that. And here it is. I've already ran the scan. It scans it anytime you open the app. So that's one of my complaints is if I navigate away and come back to it, it forces rescans. Probably does that because maybe when you go away to free up space or do something along those lines, then it rescans to show you what the current value of it is. But essentially what you see here is a breakdown from top to bottom of what folders have the most amount of data stored within them. Clockwork Mod is listed at the top, and that's because I have a few backups
For my phone. That's actually consuming 7.6 gigs of space on my device. Android, probably nothing in there that you really want to play around with. If I go through here, you'll see some of the folders within and how it breaks up even further in that folder structure. Like here, there's a GameLoft folder here that's taking up 1.37 gigs. Am I ever playing a GameLoft game? Would I really miss it if it was gone and I needed the space? No, I would probably delete that. Just a pre-warning, you probably want to be very careful with what you do delete out of here, because it would be very easy to just see something that's really large and go, oh, I'll free up a bunch of space. And then suddenly your phone doesn't work, so don't do that. So just be careful. Know what you're deleting if you, in fact, do use this tool. DCIM is photos and stuff, and you'll see camera has 1.32 gigs of stuff in there, and then there's a video file here as well that's taking up a little bit of space. What I had found when I opened it, and I cleared it out so I can't show you, but my Beyond Pod had about 8 gigs worth of stuff in it, and that's because one of the shows that I've been watching lately called Pensado's Place had a bunch of orphaned video files that were left in there that I didn't know of. I thought I had deleted them through the app, but I think, you know, once I'd reinstalled my ROM or whatever had happened, it kind of got orphaned. So the app didn't know that they were there and needed to be deleted. So I probably had like 5 gigs just hanging out there that I didn't need anymore, that I had watched those shows and could just get rid of. So if you wanted to do that, I'll just show you real quick here. You just hold down. It'll tick it, and then you can select as many as you need, and you could, you know, delete it from there. There's the option down at the bottom. Or you could just do a number of other things, copy it, move it from one place to another. You know, it's kind of just a basic file manager as well. But ultimately, its strength lies in finding exactly what on your phone is taking up the most space and giving you an easy to look at way to kind of drill down into that and make some, you know, decisions based on that, and take action from within the app, delete it right from there. So yeah, I just thought it was a really handy way of doing that. And considering that a lot of people are going to be getting the, you know, the devices that don't have removable SD card slots like the Nexus 4 and potentially an 8 gig Nexus 4, this would be a good tool to have so that you can always have the ability to take a look at what you can safely get rid of to free up space. So that's called Storage Analyzer, and it is free, in fact. And, you know, the design on it is actually pretty good as well. So check it out.
Do we deduct points because they spelled analyzer wrong?
I guess you could deduct a point.
It must be a UK developer, right?
Yeah, you might as well deduct a point. I don't know how that affects the voting, though. But, you know, use your heart when you vote. Are you cool with that spelling error? Are you really?
I'm just making a dig at any sort of non-American style spelling.
Can I do a quick update?
Oh, sure.
Did you figure it out?
Well, I just, you know, delete. I mean, I just sort of stopped the app and then started again. So I got Sawyer, my dog, on here, and I got a background.
Aww.
And now I'm going to give him a little crown, and I can make it smaller, and I can move
and rotate
it around.
Nice.
And then I'm going to do a little bit of text. I'm going to say, yeah, boy. And I'm going to
turn
it
around. You knew you were going to put that there.
I knew I was going to do it right over there. And then, let's see here. Oh, yeah. See, I already gave it the background there. Uh-huh. So essentially, I guess it was just a bug and I just needed to stop it and start it over again. And then what's this? Oh, yeah. Let's see. Do I want to give him any? Let's give him some music. He loves music. Yeah, my dog's pretty cool. Loves music. And then one more thing I'm going to do is just some text for his name. He's S. He's Sawyer. Let's put it there. I think you can kind of...
This is a masterpiece right here.
I think
here.
You can. Can you change it? No.
Oh, but you send it back.
Huh? That's cool.
You can delete it. Yeah, I can. Yeah, you can kind of layer it too. You know, you can do different things. There you go. So move the S around there. And I think you can change the font, but I'm not quite sure how. Anyway, I'm going to save that. There's Sawyer. There it is. I created it. Oh, and then you can give it a little caption.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to share it on Facebook with everybody because, you know, people want to see this. Yeah. All right. Punched it. I punched him out. I didn't punch you out, Ron. I punched out my dog. Jeez.
Fair enough. I'm better off with you punching your dog than me.
I know. Apparently.
Yeah. Go right ahead and punch your dog all you want. All right. Well, so for my app is pretty simple, and very rarely do widgets apps kind of grab me. Normally I look for a little more functionality and that sort of thing, but I cannot say no to good design. And so when I saw a Zooper widget, and I installed it and checked it out, I jumped all over it. And it's a little more complicated to show off via Skype and on my phone and all that sort of thing. So Chad is just going to show the screenshots from the Google Play Store because that pretty much sums it up. But basically, it's a series of informational widgets of varying sizes that look really cool and unlike anything else out there, and are pretty customizable and pretty much allow you to make your phone your own kind of environment. And the types of data that it has in there include the time, there's a clock, there's a calendar, time in other cities, weather, you know, all that key kind of glimpse of things. But here, that's a great one with the leaf there. You can see this person has laid it out. So the time is in the upper left-hand corner, and then the calendar is a straight run shot of every day of the month, but then the day that you're on is highlighted. And that just looks unlike anything else that's out there. It's a really snazzy way to get this kind of information. And because the widgets are all different sizes and different ways of customization, and they're transparent, you can interact with your background graphic to make your phone look really amazing. If you scroll through a little more to the one with the headphones there, Chad, you can see, so this one, you know, clearly the background is that shot of ironically iPod headphones, but you can see this person put their weather widget to the left of the headphone wire, and the time and the date to the lower right hand corner, and it just allows you to get that little extra level of customization that other kind of apps and other kind of widgets don't allow you to. There's a lot of this kind of cool thin kind of fonts, but if you scroll further on to the shot, this one, they have some thicker fonts and some thicker kind of designs that you can get in there. And it's just really neat. And it's, and if you scroll one more, Chad, so they're right there, you can customize them. You can edit the layout. You can specify whether you want the widget to have a background or not. And you can specify what you want the tapping action to do when you hit the widget, either to launch the calendar or launch a clock or whatever. So it's really a lot of fun to play with. If you want a little more extra, you know, kind of customization on your phone, you know, and it really kind of got me in that some of the stock ones that just come right out of the gate without you even needing to edit any of the widgets were just really nice and really well designed. And you'll see here through this video, they show you there's a bunch of different designs. They lay them all out, whether it's a 1 pixel widget or a 2x2 or a 4x2 or a 4x1. And then you can scroll through here and pick from all the different fonts and all the different kind of styles that they have. And totally play with them, and totally make them your own. So if you're somebody who's, you know, kind of annoyed by the design decisions that Android kind of does, or you want a little more, you know, modern kind of design to your phone, and you're tired of that big old clock widget or any others kind of any other the time or calendar widgets, this is a great way to get kind of your design on and make it kind of a little more modern design. So, and what's great is that it's not very heavy in terms of memory size. This is totally free. There is a pro version only that will take out the ads and will allow you to save templates. So if you totally create your own template, you could save it. But it's just like I said, it was a neat little widget that kind of impressed me with the emphasis on design and the emphasis on style. So it might not be for everybody, but for me, it's pretty cool. So
keep talking for a bit.
Keep talking for a
bit.
Are
you punching Ron?
But what's neat is that in terms of the information that you can put out there, in addition to the clock and the calendar, you can also get system information like when your next time your alarm's going to go off or what Wi-Fi network you're on. It's got sunrise and sunset and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And there's also a deeper Tasker integration. So if you use Tasker, you can integrate your Tasker login with this widget, so you can see your next task and that sort of thing. Like I said, I'm not normally impressed by widget apps, but much less, you know, clock and calendar widgets, but this one really struck a chord with me. And there was a really cool one, and I would show you if I had my tablet here, but it's upstairs. But it was a really cool one with kind of like a modern kind of diagonal calendar view. And I just love that kind of where you see the month and then the date. And it's a different, you know, it's the kind of thing when people see your phone and see you looking at that, they go, hey, what's that? You know, versus just looking like every other phone out there. You know? Can I stop vamping now?
I punched Ron, finally.
There you go, finally.
Yay! Your face is like hovering over the
That's what you were trying to do. And
did you put a cupcake on top of my head?
I really like the ball cap on the top of the head.
Oh, it's a ball cap. I thought it was a cupcake.
Well, I could get a cupcake, I think. I'm just kidding. Nice. All right, there you go. There's my Ron pun. Now I punched out Ron.
Has been punched.
So
I don't
want to
be known
Ron.
As punching my dog, so I punched Ron. There we go.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so Zooper Widget, it's free in the Android App Store, and it's worth checking out. So definitely give it a shot if you like the unique look to your clock widget.
You know, what will be really cool is when Jelly Bean 4.2 comes out and you can put a widget on your lock screen, you can do some pretty cool stuff with that embedded in the lock screen. I'm looking forward to that, to see what people do with that.
Oh, yeah.
Not that it can't be done with third-party apps now, but just to have it. Totally. All right. So those are the apps this week in the arena. You can vote for your favorite. Is it Photo Punch? You yourself can try and punch Ron. Just go on Google image search and find an image of Ron and punch him. Send it into the show. twit.tv. We'd love to see them.
Yes. I want to see punched Ron.
You can
awesome.
Punch any of us. Yeah. We're cool with that.
Not just me.
Honestly, I want to see what you guys come up with. Photo Punch, Storage Analyzer. Or Zooper widget. Those are the three apps to vote on. Go to aaapoll.com/84. AAAPoll.com/84 and let us know which is your favorite app from this week. Early reports are in. Zooper widget taking the lead. Storage
That's
analyzer.
A nice app, actually. I really liked it. I was too busy punching, but I noticed my eye went up. I thought, oh, that's a really great app.
Yeah, classy design. Yep.
There you go. We'll watch these over the course of the week. It'll be hard for all of us to pull ourselves away from this page every second of this week.
Well, but, I know tomorrow, you know, we'll do what we have to. Specifically on Election Day, I'll be looking at this poll all day to see how the various countries are voting, to see which app will lead us for the next 4 years.
This is the important poll of the year. If you can only follow one poll tomorrow, follow this poll. All right. That is it for this week. Next week, I'm stoked. All three of us are going to be in the studio, I think.
Yes, we are. Yep.
That's the plan. Yes. All right.
It's
I'll
my last
when that happens.
In the studio.
We won't talk about that. Anyways.
Just preparing everybody.
Thanks.
Preparing.
Thanks for bringing me down.
I know.
Why don't we do the plug part of the show? Ron, go for it.
Cool. Real quickly, just go to about.me/RonXO. You can find links to my Twitter, my Google+, Facebook, all that fun stuff there. Check out my website, ifanboy.com, for the wonderful world of comic books. And that's where you can find me every day. So,
and Eileen.
You can find me about.me/EileenRose. You can find me there. And Twitter is at EileenTV.
And Chad.
Oh, what?
Find me. He was all relaxing and lounged.
Oh, he doesn't have a camera on. Darn
no,
it.
I don't. But
it's okay.
It'll be the voice from the ether.
OMGChad.com.
Yeah, no, I was not ready. I was not prepared.
I know you weren't because I looked over there and all I saw was this big microphone craned over the.
Like, we're going to get Chad.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, I think it's important that you get in there and plug it because you do lots of great things with the show. We really appreciate that.
Thanks.
And you can find me at about.me/JasonHowell or on Twitter. I'm at Jason Howell. That's it for this week's episode of All About Android. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate having you along. You can send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email or a video mail attached as a link to your email at aaa@twit.tv. You can find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Show notes can always be found at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find episodes of this show that we record there, as well as iTunes and YouTube. It's true.
Like episode 20 when we talked about Go SMS Pro.
Yes, go back in time and explore past episodes and see what we battled with in the arena, like episode 20. And finally, you can catch us live normally every Tuesday starting next week. It'll be back on Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. live.twit.tv. We will see you next week for another episode of All About Android. Thank you.
Punch.